Hey, y'all, in this episode of the Carolina Chuck Podcast, we're going to talk to Jason Griffin. Y'all check him out. Be good. Peace out.
Here, I'm sitting here doing this.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, it's...
So what's up, Jason?
I do this stuff all the time, and it still gets you, you know?
Dude, I ain't going to lie, man. I have to tell my wife to wish me luck every time I come over do these things.
That's always nice to have.
Yeah, I get kind of nervous, yep. You know? I'm like, I talk to people. Sometimes I don't know where it's going to go. I don't prepare, you know?
The furthest I came prepared was bringing the Carolina Tux.
Yeah, I like that, dude.
Feel free to steal it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
just
going
the cutoff flannel over the t-shirt.
Man, that's awesome.
It's a perfect combination.
So what's up, man? I saw you from Raleigh.
Yeah. Most of my dad's family's from that area. We moved up here somewhere around right before I started kindergarten.
Yeah.
So it's been late '80s.
Late '80s.
Yep. I've been back and forth a couple of times.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to go back, but I mean, I say I don't have anything holding me here now anymore. My son's moved away. He's all grown.
Yeah.
But I got a lot.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that the last couple of days.
You make a lot.
Thinking about what I'm going to say coming here because I knew that was going to come up. But I guess I do. I do have a lot up here now.
Yeah, you make a life up here for sure.
Yep. There's always something, always somebody.
So how did you end up here? Or how did your family end up here?
Well, my mother's family's up here.
Oh.
So. Yeah, my mother had she had moved down yonder after high school.
Yeah.
And I don't know particulars of it, but
yeah,
here we are.
So that's kind of sort of how I ended up here is my wife was born up here and her dad's family was here, is still here.
Yep.
And when her parents split up, they moved down there and she kind of grew up in my hometown of Clover, South Carolina. And you know, I was working in Charlotte, and
I worked in Newberry, South Carolina.
Really?
Yep,
Oscar
Meyer, Lewis Rich.
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah, I was born in Columbia, mm-hmm. and then we went up. I was born there, but I didn't live there. We lived in Great Falls, a little tiny place called Great Falls, South Carolina. My daddy was the chief of police, and we ended up moving up towards Clover, which is just south of Charlotte. And
that's kind of the area I was hoping to move. I was hoping to move back to North Carolina here about 2 years ago. I was working over here at the air brake. You know, there was a whole thing there. They let about 100 of us go, and thought I had a job. You know, that I was excited to take in Salisbury, North Carolina.
Uh huh.
And I come down to it that I'd already been out of work a while, and mm-hmm. my dad and my brother were in and out of the hospital and still are. So,
dang.
It wasn't the right time.
How many siblings you got?
I have three.
Yeah.
Two. Sorry, I have two. I had four.
Oh.
So,
dang.
I had two older half sisters who aren't with us anymore, and two younger brothers. One 37, one fixing to be 34. My 37-year-old brother Joey. He was diagnosed with a grade 4 glioblastoma, brain tumor, about 5 years ago.
God.
And they give him a year and a half to 3 years, and he's still kicking at air.
Kicking.
I mean, he's kicking.
Dang, bro.
So, yeah.
So, y'all came to the Watertown area or Loudville? Y'all were straight out Loudville.
Yep. We were up. Up in Turin, up on the hill, just outside of Loudville.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty neat. I went through Loudville. That's where I got the windmills and stuff out mm-hmm. that way, right? That's wild looking to me.
One of my son's friends moved out to Washington a couple of years ago. And before he left, my son and his mother had taken him to Loudville to take him around and see windmills and whatnot. Cause that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. When we came up here... my wife is a dark-headed girl, but she acts blonde as hell. I said, I saw some windmills. I said, Christy, you know what those are for? She goes, what? I said, the earth is breaking free right there, and there's big fans that push them back together. She's like, no way. I'm like, dude, what the heck?
I'm always telling my kid he's the dumbest smart kid I know.
Yeah.
he's a good kid. He graduated one top of his class from here, General Brown.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep. Class of 22. And he lives in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania right now, about 20 minutes northwest of Philly.
Really?
Yep.
Dang, there's some athletes come up out of General Brown over there.
Yeah.
I know a couple of guys that went there.
I probably know a few, and, you know, off the top of my head right now, I'm like,
yeah, don't
say the wrong thing.
Yeah, it ain't live.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, no pressure, nothing.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
So I see you play a lot of music, huh?
Well, as much as I can. Well, yeah. I can't even say as much as I can, as much as I like to, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fiddle when you can, huh?
Yep. I mean, the whole thing, when I play with Allison Fleming, who mm-hmm. is wonderful. I wouldn't see myself doing this without her at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like a year ago, we've been doing the acoustic thing for on and off with each other for years.
Mm-hmm.
And a year ago, you know, it got to the point where I'd play a night, and it'd take me 2-3 days for my hands to, you know, get feeling back in them. Yeah. And I still have that. But I was dead set that I was done at the end of this year, and here we are booking into next summer.
So, really? So are you just hitting boards and stuff? And
yeah. Well, anything we can, really. I mean, we do festivals and all that. We branched out to Alex Bay this summer, which typically we stay like local for Lowellville. Like we'll go Boonville, Watertown.
Yeah.
But we're getting into, you know, new venues. When we had the full band kickstand as we go by.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot more of that. We did a lot of work with Black Shoe Productions, for example,
mm-hmm.
that are always putting on big music festivals around here.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's always been fun. We always agreed that, hey, we have families, we have lives, we have jobs. And we took a hiatus once because everybody was literally changing jobs in one way or another, whether mm-hmm. we were changing shifts or positions where we were, and it was just things were a mess. We all have kids, and
right. So, I mean, it is hard to do.
And that's been
this,
the things,
right?
Yeah. So we play when it works for us, and right. it works. We don't have to be out there every weekend, which is great to see the people that can do that. Especially, I mean, you see guys like Dave Scanlon, who plays 12 days a week. He'll go out there. He'll go out there 3 times on a Saturday, 3 times on a Sunday, and then he'll still play every night of the week, which is great. I mean, Dave's phenomenal. And he's actually in the last 2 years, he's helped me out a lot with like getting myself or Allison and I booked in different places.
Yeah.
And then you got guys like Doc Yukon.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love them?
They're great.
Josh Cox and the Rattlesnakes. That's another Brian Byer band.
Yeah, yeah.
Cream Cheese Festival 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I got a hold of Brian. I'm like, Doc Yukon has your usual spot. If you guys want it, he says, well, we got something else going on, but we don't really have a name for it yet. So we just booked it as Josh Cox band.
Yeah.
And everybody loved it.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, he's, I ended up, I don't know, friending them guys pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty easy to do.
I made a commercial, and I threw their name out there.
Yep.
And we just kind of got tired after that.
Thinking all your commercials when I come out here, I'm like, man, what have I heard? I know I quote the sweet tea one there quite a bit last night. Let the sweet tea talk.
Yeah, I took it. I got some classic ones out there. And what's cool is they let me do, I write them all.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'd write a couple of them and I did a little studying on branding before I came up here mm-hmm. and right away I was like, I knew I had to kind of brand myself, and what easier way to do it is I sound different than everybody, so I ran with that, and it's easy.
I don't know. I should have brought my dad along. He sounded just like you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought about bringing him, too, because just to get him out, you know, to see something like this, but then I'd have been even more nervous. I'd been like, Dad, go away.
Yeah. That'd have been fine. I don't, every opportunity I get to talk to some Southern guys, believe me, I do it.
Yeah, I'm this much southern these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I still like my pecan pie, my sweet tea.
Yeah.
Believe me, I have this horrible problem that you put a pecan pie in front of me.
Oh man,
it disappears the whole thing.
Yeah, you got
it's bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. Bad. It's an addiction. I like your hat you got on.
Oh man, this is actually my kid's hat.
Really?
Yep. So I was working out. I think it was in Texas a couple of years ago, and I bought this for him. It's actually a Carhartt brand hat.
What?
Yep. Yep. And he was in the habit of stealing some of my favorite hats. So
that's my
long
son,
story short.
Too.
He ended up with a couple of mine. I ended up with this one. So yeah.
That's a cool hat. Yeah,
and I'll tell you what. At this point on Sundays, I feel like I should be wearing a paper bag.
Except for last Sunday.
Oh yeah, yeah, we squeaked going out.
Yeah,
1 point. Hey, win's a win.
You know, win's they whooped the heck out of us at the beginning of the season.
I think I was either fifth or sixth grade when Carolina come in with the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And before then, here I am, you know, 8, 9 years old. So what's the coolest thing on TV besides a rivalry between the Redskins and the Cowboys? So I go with the good guys, the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys a little bit before the Panthers came too.
And Carolina come in the league, and that was it. So 30 seasons of woo.
yeah, believe me, man. And I'm a big baseball guy. I like them Atlanta Braves.
I was just gonna say, me too. I've been trying to get back into baseball the last couple of years. You know, I played a little bit in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the last time I paid attention to baseball up until like the last 2-3 years. And
right. See, I got out of it pretty good until about 2012-ish, 2011.
Yep.
And the Braves were terrible. And but I'm a diehard Braves fan. Like, I just got out of it when I was, I don't know, I got a little wild and just didn't care about sports. And then I got back into it heavy, and then I just watched them. We were just cheering for a base hit, bro. Like, it was bad. And then I just had this on my podcast talking about it. One of the managers came out one day. They fired the coach. They got rid of all the good players. And he said, we got a plan. And dang it, a couple years later, we win a World Series.
Yep.
That was awesome.
Yep.
I was like, wow.
Actually, I had my first professional game experience in, I don't know, 10, 15 years here, earlier this summer.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine who I like, you ever watch Jay and Silent Bob movies and whatnot?
Yeah.
So I like to refer to this guy as my hetero life mate.
Yeah.
And hi, Aaron.
Yeah.
Has this idea going to, he's like, we should go to the Yankees game, June, whatever it was. He says they're playing the Braves. So, all right, so I ordered me a new hat and whatnot. And,
yeah.
Because I couldn't find my old one. And we get there, and this is the kind of guy that if he watches, and I gotta give you a heads up, he's both a Yankees and a Giants fan right now. So, so don't we get there, and the Braves win.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I was the only happy one on the ride home.
And that's honestly, yep. I cannot go. I'm totally afraid to go to another Braves game because I've gone to a few and they've won every one I've been to.
Oh. So now skeptical, I'm like, now, superstitious.
Yeah. So now I'd have to go like at the.
Don't want to go to another Yankees game because them seats are like.
Yeah.
You ever seen Mrs. Doubtfire where he's trying to do impressions? He's like, I do a great impression of a hot dog. That's what you feel like sitting in them little seats.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. So it's been what was the last time I went to a Braves game? Some years ago. We used to see what it was cool because I lived in Charlotte, around Charlotte, and we'd hop on 85 and take us about 4 hours. We'd always go to the Sunday games because they played at 1 o'clock and they'd be over by, 4 o'clock or whatever. And you just drive back and be home by 9, 10 or whatever. So you get up early in the morning, drive down there, watch the game, and then drive back. And it was cool. And then we used to go to, like, Charlotte Knights games, which is an affiliate of the White Sox.
Okay.
Which I didn't really care for the White Sox. But they were cool to watch. And then the Gwinnett Braves and stuff would come to town, and would check that out too. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I worked in Atlanta for, I don't know, from like November to March, April, 1 year. No baseball there. I had a chance to go to a couple NASCAR races.
Yeah.
But
I bet that was probably the best winter of your life.
One of them. Yeah. One of them. I remember fixing a fly home in February, and the flight was hour and a half direct, mm-hmm. if that, going back and forth, Atlanta, Syracuse, and it was projected snow.
Yeah.
So I spent 2.5 hours sitting on the plane before we even got out, to taxi.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Because they couldn't keep up with all the de-icing. Wow. Just not used to it. And the day before that, like a buddy of mine from Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, him and I are sitting at this giant Walmart with a parking garage and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just sitting there in a little Subway and watching everybody panic. Arms full of bread and milk and all that.
Yeah.
And they were just forecasting snow.
Yeah.
And it wasn't much. Maybe, and well, it might be much there because it was like a half inch, but.
Yeah, I mean, look, my mama would call me. She's going to snow. You better go get you. She's freaking out. I'm telling you. And you got to listen to your mom. It's just got to,
So. Well, being up here so long, it's like, we're going to get 3-4 feet of snow. Yeah, but over how much time? Are we talking in an hour or are we talking like overnight? Because overnight's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, things have changed in my opinion of my experience with snow because never in my life have I thought I was going to face down a blizzard. I was like, a blizzard, what the heck? I ain't never going to see one of those. Mm-hmm. We had one just a couple years ago, 2 years ago. Before that, we had a snowstorm, which I didn't know what the difference was. I figured it out. It was 61 inches in 24 hours got dumped on us, and that was crazy.
What? I mean, I get the commerce of it, but I have to look at people that are like, yeah, we got all this snow. I'm like, I want nothing to do with this.
Right. I'm like, man, dude.
But it is good for the economy up here. It really is. You get a lot of people from all over, from Ohio, Pennsylvania, Jersey,
Yeah, I get that too. But what I do is I got to get out there and move that stuff off them cars at the dealership.
Yep.
We get the broom. And at first it was neat because I was, I get kind of tickled to be out in the snow like that, But then I got cold and whatever. I finally got the right winter gear now. I finally got my muck boots and all that. So I'm kind of ready for it,
This is my winter and summer gear right here.
Yeah. Heck yeah. So, what are you getting into? You said you're laid off right now.
We're Lewis County Highway Department seasonally. Yeah, I like it.
A lot of people.
I work
do
with
that.
A great bunch wild. Of people. I keep telling them, feel free to dump all the snow right in front of my door this winter. Just leave me a little hole for Jimmy to feed me snacks through. I'll be all right. Yeah, I like it. It's you can put this with any experience, any job, anything. I mean, I've learned a lot, met a lot of great people. Mm-hmm. I've seen some of the. I mean, I just turned 40 years old, and watching these guys run the great all. I'm like, man, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I mean, what's that saying about me? Am I getting older? Or am I really enjoying this stuff? So I like it. I like it.
What did you do for those guys?
Anything I needed, really. A lot of flagging. Or as I say, playing in traffic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. I just sit here and wave the little sign.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Occasionally, they're nice enough to let me load trucks for them.
Yeah.
Push a broom. Yep.
That's a pretty dang rough job, I understand. Dude, I'd be so freaking paranoid of cars coming by.
We've had some close calls in a couple of years I've been there. But the way I look at it is, A, somebody's got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
B, I'm watching multiple directions at once. I'm watching our equipment. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the vehicles that are coming. I'm watching myself. Mm-hmm. I almost had a deer run out smacking me earlier this year.
Dang,
so,
yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. So you do any hunting or anything?
I do. I try to. In the last couple of years, I say I pretend to because I ain't made it out much. But the ratio to time I spend in the woods, the deer I pull out, I'm not going to complain about.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, the deer up here are monstrous compared to what I'm used to.
I ain't actually been out to sit yet. I've gone out and scouted out a few spots, but I did almost get a 4-point 2 weekends ago. Almost shot it with my truck.
I was
shot that sucker with an 07 F-150.
Wow, dude, I came up here in an 08 F-150.
Yeah, all right.
Single cab, lifted. It was awesome.
Oh, mine's extended cab, man. I'm not a full-size truck guy. Usually I'm like the Ford frickin' Ranger guy.
Yeah, my dad is sitting here telling me, he's like, you got to find me a $5,000 Ford Ranger. I'm like, bro, there ain't no $5,000 truck. This is down south, though. He's wanting me to look for him now. I'm like, it ain't like that no more. You can't find a good truck.
Paid $1,200 for this thing like 4 or 5 months ago. It's got a rust hole in the driver's side door about like that. So if I lock myself out, I can probably get back in there easy enough.
Yeah.
If I get 3-4 years out of this sucker, I'll be happy. I mean, it gets me to A to B.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got a payment, you know.
Bro, if you get a year out of it, I mean, that's good. Really? Dude, I'm closing people that's paying $1,200 a month, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Trucks are expensive. I mean, not all of them, but some trucks that they out here buying, these daggum 3/4 ton Denali.
You would know.
You ain't gonna believe just some people's.
What do you reckon I get a trade in on that thing? You want to come out and look at it?
Yeah. Well, I know 1,200 is what you paid for.
There we go.
So if I gave you 13, you done made a profit on it.
Yeah. You got to throw in a bag of Doritos, though.
Yeah, a Dorito. I'll get them right out of the vending machine in there.
Perfect.
So you're going on. You're going to do another podcast tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow I sit down with Lance Hale over 94.1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get to sit down with him a lot and talk about the whole nervous thing getting up here because I hadn't done nothing to this setup before.
Yeah.
Went in for the radiothon for Children's Miracle Network last week, and I talked with Johnny Spisano and him, and I did get a little choked up because, I mean, you always listen to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've made donations before. I helped out pretty good here with this one. And I'm sitting here talking with both of these guys, and I'm just, like, trying to get through it. Like, I've done this. You know, it's nice to actually see it in the works.
Right.
You know, and to meet some of these people and hear the stories and all that. It gets you.
Yeah. I mean, those two guys are really good guys. Yeah. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, they have like a personality, like a character for the community, but they really are that. Like, I've hung out with them, you know what I mean? Like, and Johnny for sure really does care about, you know, it ain't all about the money or, you know, whatever. He's really, you know, he likes taking care of people. And Lance is he's a baby. He's a sweetheart.
That's going to be my next goal is cooking with Johnny.
Yeah. Did you see what I did on there? I did the cornbread casserole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went on there. He's like, man, I need somebody to come on. And the day I did that, it was a pretty crazy day for me. I had to get up and go to Channel 7 over here to promote a boxing fight that I did.
Yep.
And then I had to meet with these guys about putting this show together, right? So I came over here, sat down with their manager and everything, and like pitched this idea of what we're doing right now. And then I was like, but I had to cut it short because I was like, look, I got to go do another TV show with Johnny Spisano of PBS.
Yep. All and, over the place.
Yeah, I know, it was I a know crazy day. I felt like I was like a genuine celebrity or something. And then after I got when I got over to Johnny's, I'm seeing all these cameras and this whole camera crew setting up. And then I was hard to focus on what I was doing because in my mind, I'm thinking about producing my own TV show. So I'm really just concerned about what these guys are doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Gals too. And, So if you watch it and know what was going on, you'll see Johnny take stuff from me because I'm just kind of looking around. He's like, He's like, here, salt this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm just looking around at all the cameras.
Come down here, Mr. Food.
Yeah. He did really good, though. He's great. He's great on the TV. But it was cool, man. It was really cool. Because I didn't
Emerald Spazzano.
Yeah. And honestly, I've never seen it. So I didn't know how long we were going to be recording. I was like, is this a freaking hour show? I don't know. You know, I didn't know. It was only like a little 15-minute segment. I didn't know, you know, but. But it was cool. It was really cool, man. You ought to hit him up and get over there and do something. He likes doing it.
And I like my food, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the biggest things about traveling. It was, you know, anywhere I went, it was always the food.
Yeah.
Always someplace new to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. especially if you get down south, man. There is some, you know what I was like? I've been craving like crazy. I don't know if you ever had it. It was some fried chicken livers. I have been craving that. Like, there's this place called Circle G right in Charlotte that makes the best freaking fried chicken liver. And eating with, like, rice and gravy, man, it's crazy. I got to get down there. Next time I go, I've got to have that. And it just feels like you eat it and you feel like you got, like, super protein.
I'm going to have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah, you get a chance to try some fried chicken livers, dude. They're amazing.
I got to say I've had them somewhere down the point, especially being younger. But
yeah, I mean, they, you know, it's kind of a, they're good, but they taste a little different. You know what I mean? They're not like, don't taste like chicken too.
I was going to say, not everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah. It tastes a little weird, but it's like an acquired taste, but it's good as hell. It's really good.
Well, you're talking to a guy who can drink a Guinness at room temperature. So
yeah,
that's an acquired taste.
Dude, speaking of Guinness, we went up to, where was it? We went to Washington, D.C. to watch the Texas Longhorns play Maryland, mm-hmm. right? They played them in the Redskin Stadium. This is why I give up drinking, because I'm pretty wild. We get up to the top, and we got seats or whatever. There's a guy serving beer. He's serving Guinness and Fat Tire. And his daggum debit card machine's broke. So he was just giving us beer. I was like, wow. I come up there, he just give it. I don't know why. I didn't make no sense, but by the time I had a couple, it didn't. I just walked back up there, and he'd give me some more. And,
wake up, Squeak. You're my new best friend.
Yeah. Holy moly. I done moseyed down to the field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was telling a daggum police guy to hand me the yard marker, and I kept getting kicked out. It was a really crazy time. And then we had to drive the whole couple hours back to South Carolina, and I'm just in a really uncomfortable, small, third-row vehicle, just with a bunch of guys just all passed out drunk. It was crazy. It was a pretty wild experience, but that's the only time I ever really stomached that stuff. That Guinness is rough, bro. I'm a Bud Light guy.
I like to call myself a beer connoisseur, even though most of the time I'm cracking Miller Light.
Yeah, Miller Light. I was a Miller Light guy for a little bit, and then honestly, I think it was because the people that I was hanging out with liked Miller Light at the time, and I was just trying it out. But it just, by the end of the day, I was like, I would drink that for a little bit, and then I'd try that Bud Light, and I'm like, yeah, that's the ticket right there, the Bud Light. But I think the Panthers are sponsored by.
A lot of teams are.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of years ago when Cleveland was doing so bad. Mm-hmm. There was a season there where Bud Light had coolers strategically, however, placed in bars around Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Browns actually won a game, the bartenders got to unlock them, and whatever was in there was free beer in Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, I'm like, a couple of us were like, man, we're going to go to Cleveland this weekend. They might win. We never won.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. They never won anyways.
They never won, right? Well, you got to plan it for when they win.
Yep.
But, yeah, man, I guess one day the Panthers. You ever been to a Panthers game when they played the Giants or anything?
Nope. Well, my son and I, we almost went to the last NFC championship game they were in right before Super Bowl 50. And my work schedule didn't work out. So that would have been, tickets were great price, and his mother had even offered to, you know, take care of that for us, as, you know, because we already had still had the lodging, gas, and all that, and I just couldn't get the time off work to do it.
Yeah, I went up and I watched play the Saints. It's another little mosey old trick I pulled. My mother-in-law, my wife's mom, was working the suites up there, and mm-hmm. And there's a level where you can get access to, like, the restaurants and the bars that the suites get access to. We got those tickets. I don't remember how we got them. Me and my buddy, we got them. And then my mother-in-law was, like, working a suite, and then we just slid up in there with the people who paid for it. And they were, like, totally cool. They had no idea who we were. We're just in there eating their food and hanging out. And then we watched them beat the Saints. It was really cool. Hanging out together with some strangers that we were just hijacked their suite. It was wild.
And my boy and I, one time, I had taken him to the Ray Price Harley Davidson just going into Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
On 401. And it's called something else now, Tobacco Road. But they were doing a tour there with a bunch of military guys. And we didn't realize what was going on. We just walked in. We're looking around. And, you know, we're going to buy a shirt or something from the shop. And we started listening in. And they're like, all right, come with us. And we just are following around everything. We get out the shop. And then I realized what's going on. I'm like, son, we ain't supposed to be in here.
Yeah, buddy. So how did you get involved with Johnny and Lance? Is that through the music side?
Yeah. More or less. Just trying to branch out through different things, whether it was music functions or Cream Cheese Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know before I started interviewing with them guys, I did a lot of interviews on 92.5 for different things. And I still do some over there for various things, mostly music. But now working with other things within the community, I'm trying to branch out and utilize that more, especially for Cream Cheese Fest, for the Scouts, for the American Legion.
Yeah, so what do you do with the Legion?
So I'm in the middle of my second year running as the Sons Commander.
You're going to have to explain the Legion to me, because I really don't understand what all...
American Legion is basically... Well, it starts with the veterans. Mm-hmm. Your auxiliary and your sons and whatnot, you wouldn't exist without the veterans to begin with. So mm-hmm. it's all a tribute for them. A lot of what we try to give back goes to our veterans, especially in our community. Like I said, we wouldn't exist without them.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to keep that on, keep that legacy going. And the biggest thing, out of all the conferences and whatnot, conventions I go to, you always try to remember to emphasize that most people think of Legions or members posts as just another bar, but that's not what we are. We're another entity in the community to help out and keep this legacy alive.
So tell me about like a meeting or whatever. How does that go?
We just had a meeting tonight, which we were crammed in this. We had more guys than we thought we were gonna. We usually average, the Sons, for instance, have about 280 members at our post.
280.
Mm-hmm.
How many people was there tonight?
12.
Oh,
for the meeting.
I was about to say,
usually we get anywhere between 20-25. Which is good. We've been seeing a lot of new faces the last couple of years, especially helping out with different things like barbecues, distributing gift baskets to the nursing home around Christmas time. So,
and how do you become a member?
Of the Sons, you've had to come from a descendant that served during wartime. Mm-hmm. So, parent, grandparent, great grandparent. In my case, both my father and then my grandfather on my mother's side.
Right.
So I'm also a past men's auxiliary commander for the VFW in Lowellville.
So tell me how you got, what inspired you to get involved with these guys?
Just seeing things they do. Just, that was kind of my, aside from, I've been involved in scouting for 30 some odd years.
Scouting, like?
Like Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So I guess a lot of it started there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I actually crossed over from Cubs to Boy Scouts, all of our meetings were at the Legion. Mm-hmm. My dad and my youngest brother were members. And I first started getting involved more on the VFW side of things. Because, you know, they needed somebody younger to take notes and run a computer and all that. And I was, you know, in my early 20s. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
So your dad was involved too, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he would be referred to as a Legionnaire in those terms. Mm-hmm. As, he served in Vietnam.
Oh, heck.
Yep. So he just turned 76. But yeah, that's, I mean, a lot of it started, I would trace it back to Boy Scouts. So, and then just slowly getting involved with VFW and then doing more, just helping out with simple stuff like that, like I mentioned, chicken barbecues.
Yeah.
That's one of our biggest fundraisers that we do as the Sons at the Lowellville Legion. Mm-hmm. And, but it always goes over well, makes good money. We get a lot of participation.
Let me ask you this. How do you got to be to transfer from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts, and then when does Boy Scouts end?
So you age out at 18. I crossed over. I want to say around, it was fifth, sixth grade somewhere in there, and I was one of the younger ones in my grade. Most of the kids grade behind me were mm-hmm. older than me, so it was somewhere I think around fifth grade. So I'd have been 10, 11 years old.
And then what is it, when you aged out, I mean, do they have, like, programs after that? Because I feel like it's like
there's always more. There's always more that you can do. Like, right. I'm the last, I want to say 10 years, I've been the charter representative for our scout troop, which means I'm more of a liaison at this point. Anything that goes from the committee or the scout masters, whatnot, if they have anything to report back, mostly, you know, finances and whatnot, or upkeep with the troop in general. So sometimes I have to be a go-between for something, which isn't, you know, which is kind of the ugly side of things, but you'll have that in anything.
Right.
Yep.
That sounds freaking awesome, dude.
I
remember when I did it. Like, it's, to me, that's what I'm like, I don't want to say struggling. People are going to listen to it. But I miss the fellowship. You know what I mean? Like, there's
that's a really big part of it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking. You're into mm-hmm. is you really get involved with a fellowship of people.
Exactly. Well, and it's great to see, you know, people come to, you know, like a community come together. And I've been mm-hmm. using it a lot lately. And any, you know, anything, anybody I talk to, I mean, it takes a village. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I say, at the end of closing every newsletter for the Legion every month, I say teamwork makes the machine work, and that's exactly what it is. You mm-hmm. can't do it without the people around you, and I can't 100%. Even though at the same time, I trying to slow myself down a little bit. I think a lot of why I tend to get involved with things is I also have the mentality that, well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
So, and I say I have the time, but most days I don't. But I do, especially, like I said, my son's grown.
How would
you
say?
I'm down to one. I'm down to one job typically instead of, you know, two, three at a time.
Yeah.
He'll be 21 in February.
Dang, mm-hmm. bro. I got my oldest daughter is 19. Gonna be 20 in February.
Oh, yeah. This is February 2nd.
February 25th.
Yep. That poor guy. Not only was he born on Groundhog's Day, but Carolina losing that last Super Bowl was also on his birthday. That was also on his birthday.
Dang, dude. Yep. Look, I took her and my middle daughter to their first Gamecocks game. It was at the Panther Stadium.
Yep.
And it was some bowl game. I can't remember. It was a few years ago. And they got skunked. It was embarrassing. I'm like, first game I take them to, we get skunked. It's terrible. But, yeah, so what do you think makes you – I mean, you think it was – did you learn something in the scouts that just kind of gave you that drive to be a part of the community like that? Is there something you can remember that was like, man, I'm like productive achievement, like I've got to –
Nothing specific. I think it was just the overall, like you mentioned, camaraderie of it.
Yeah.
And then they one of the big things, especially as you get older, they push you to be more involved with the community.
Right. I mean, that's what they do.
Because there's reaching out for different merit badges. I remember calling local radio stations, you know, asking questions, whatnot, stuff like that. Doing area cleanups and whatnot. Your Eagle projects are typically based off some sort of something you can do for the community. You know, you go around. Yeah. So I didn't make it that far. But I'm just throwing examples out at this point. Yeah. But no, I don't think it was anything in specific.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what started that in my adult life was, hey, we need help. And I just, all right, I'll try it out. And it just evolved from there.
Wow. So
now I get guys like Jeremiah Papineau, who that man works, like I said, like I made the Dave Scanlon joke, that man works 8 days a week. And he calls me up. Hey, buddy, you got a minute? No, but I don't think you do either. What do you need? So he's roping me into 7 News and all that. So I'm just branching out where I can.
Yeah, getting it out there. Yeah this would probably, honestly, this would be, this is like probably 6 weeks out from hitting the air, but the podcast would be out in a day or two. But, I'm so freaking ahead on my recording the TV shows because I was doing like 2 a week, but I would also drop the – because I was trying to get where I could do 2 a week, but it's just me. So it's – I have to watch this thing and then turn it into a 23 minutes, 55 seconds of TV, take out like –
oh, man. Yeah. We're going to cut out a lot of this.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. I like the podcast to roll and, gives us something, you know. I like talking, you know what I mean?
Yep. This is nice. I mean, I am a little more definitely a little more relaxed now when I come in.
Yeah.
I was texting a friend of mine before you come and open the door. So I'm wandering up and down Public Square trying to figure out which door to go in.
Believe me, it is. It's there's not a well, there's probably been 2 people out of this is like the 26th episode or something that's found the door, you know, or knew where to go. But when I first got here, they had to put a sign out front. And I'm like, upstairs. I'm like, what? Kind of crazy. But it's nice, man. It goes back that way. They've got offices.
Oh, yeah. I see all the light-up signs in the window and whatnot. And I'd never noticed them until I was pulling up here.
Yeah. And then Tyler Clemens does his thing right here. Mm-hmm. They'll turn the cameras that way, and he does this little...
Yeah, I recognize that now.
Yeah, and he's got a little, like, he does news stuff. Mm-hmm. Me, he's smarter than me, you know what I mean?
Yep.
When it comes to news stuff, I like just talking to regular people. And
another guy that's been a lot of places and done a lot.
He was one of the first guys I had on my my original podcast I was doing at my kitchen table. Because I met him over at the radio station.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, it was cool.
I was on the radio with him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yep. That's a great station. A
couple times in the same morning because he was bouncing around right ahead of us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Who were you on there with?
Jeremiah Papineau.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Cream Cheese Fest. And I'll talk about that a lot because that's literally a year-long process. We're in a break right now, but
I've
already got bands bugging me for next year. And
really?
We haven't done a physical meeting for that since 2019, and everything still comes off without a hitch. Like, it's – everybody knows – everybody's been doing what they've been doing for so long that it just works.
Mm-hmm. Have you been on with Jen Coleman, you said, right, at 92.5 over there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've been on with Quince. I've been on with John Turnstall, or John Keegan, sorry. I was thinking of his Facebook there, and Johnny Keegan.
Yeah.
Yep. I typically go with, Tim Sweeney organizes all that. He's a good dude.
Yeah. So. I had Jen over there on there. She does the morning show over there. She's really cool. It was fun. She'll do a good interview with you if you get on in the morning with them. Like, a lot of people listen to that show, too. That'd be good for you. But, yeah, anything coming up you want to talk about before we get off here?
Man, put me on the spot.
Oh, you're not on the spot.
No, not really. I mean.
You can say Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
The last 2 years, and this will be my third now, so typically we're closed at the Louisville Legion, but somebody – has done some sort of thing for people that, you know, don't have any family around or just don't have any place to go for Thanksgiving. Really? So this would be my third year taking that over.
Really? Mm-hmm. What are you, some kind of hero or something?
Don't stop.
Turkey or ham?
Huh?
Turkey or ham? What do you like?
Turkey, man.
All right.
You got to smoke it.
What?
Smoke it.
Come on, let's go.
Low and slow, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was not a turkey fan my whole life until I bought an electric smoker, and I stayed up all night injecting this thing every little bit and just putting it on.
I don't even do that. I inject it once.
Yeah.
Set it. Mm.
I made this freaking, I smoked a very memorable turkey, and I fell in love with smoked turkey right after that. Mm-hmm. That next day.
Yeah, I just like having people to cook for. Like I have a really hard time doing it for just myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and if it weren't for that, I'd probably save myself a lot of money.
Yeah, you know.
I just like having people to cook for. Like I'll do. Last year I did a turkey. I did a big old pan of mac and cheese. I did 10 pounds of mashed potatoes. You know, other people bring stuff in. It was pretty good.
That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you coming and hanging out with
me. Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
It's been
good.
Yeah, it's been good.
No, not at all.
All right, cool. Thank you.